signs of life?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Bank stress keeps adding up, but the number of jobless claims actually came down. And some retail numbers looked downright, well, better than we thought. It's the morning open, just minutes into trading, and we're checking where Wall Street is. Dow is up about a quarter of a percent, 19 points. NASDAQ up just barely. And the S&P 500 up about half a percent right now. Asian markets faring well today. The Nikkei added 4.5%. European markets up right now about 1% to 2%. Let's bring in Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's joining us live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk bank stress tests first. How will their release later today, at I think 5 o'clock Eastern, affect anything, given that so much information has already come out?
Well, I think one thing is we don't know for sure exactly what information is correct or not, in the sense that, you know, so a lot of it's naming unnamed sources. But that being said, there has been a lot of, I'll call them trial balloons, floated. So I guess a lot of us are hopeful that there may not be a whole lot of impact, that people are already comfortable with what may have been floated out, the worst-case scenarios.
Again, those coming out later today, 5 Eastern. Jobless claims came out today, and they were down to their lowest level in more than 2 months, Bill, just above 600,000. Are we popping the bubbly on that?
Well, I don't know about we're getting to that point yet, but the good news is they're going in the right direction, and I think that also feeds back to the stress test, in the sense that, you know, more jobs mean, or at least less loss of jobs means more chance that people will actually pay back the financial companies, and things just get better from there. So it's undoubtedly good news.
And in just a few seconds, Bill, quickly, retail sales today, especially Walmart, looked pretty civil. I mean, is it the warmer weather? Are we spending more because it's warmer?
I think, you know, you definitely give it a little bit to the warmer getting outside, but I also have to say we're seeing statistics that consumer confidence has gotten better. You know, just look at the jobless claims, less people losing their jobs or less than people expect, maybe less worries about losing your job, get out there and spend a little bit more. Also, a lot of discounting out there, so that also helped.
All right. Bill Stone, Chief Investment Strategist at PNC Wealth Management, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
And checking Wall Street again right now, the Dow is pretty much flat. NASDAQ has swung to lower now, about 0.3%. This morning, we hear that the Obama administration will tackle some fiscal 2010 budget cuts totaling about $17 billion. Yeah, sounds like a big number, but it's just half of a percent of the total budget Congress approved. And as Tamara Keith tells us, trimming the fat won't be easy.
A senior administration official described the budget-cutting strategy as searching for things that work and trying to cut back on things that don't work. The Obama budget team has identified 121 line items they say don't work. Half of the cuts would come from military spending, the other half from things like reimbursing states for incarcerating illegal immigrants who commit crimes, and a $600,000 education attaché in Paris. But one person's failed idea or unnecessary expense is someone else's vital program. Past presidents have run up against this reality in the halls of Congress before, and President Obama is likely to encounter similar resistance. Meanwhile, House Minority Leader John Boehner says that cuts don't go far enough. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
You're hearing the Morning Report on Thursday, May 7th, 2009, at marketplace.org. Well, the urge to merge continues unabated in the car industry. Volkswagen and Porsche have agreed to unite, creating yet another big family-dominated car company in Europe. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
The agreement ends a family feud. Wolfgang Porsche, chairman of the sports car company, fought a long campaign to take over Volkswagen. Volkswagen is run by a relative, a grandson of Ferdinand Porsche, the man who designed the Beetle. The sports car company borrowed around $12 billion to buy a big stake in VW. buckling under that debt, it's now dropped its takeover aim. It's agreed to merge with VW instead. The deal, if it goes ahead, will unite some powerful brands: Porsche, Volkswagen, Audi and Bentley. Analyst Jürgen Pieper in Frankfurt says it makes good commercial sense.
Porsche is by far the most profitable car maker at all, and Volkswagen in the past 2 years has become the leading manufacturer in Europe at least, and I think this is in the end a good fit.
There is one possible source of friction in the proposed new company. It's still not entirely clear which branch of the Porsche family will be in the driver's seat. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It can be a small fortune to install solar panels on your home. It takes years to pay that money back. So imagine now if the utilities had to buy any extra power you generated. Congress is taking a look at that option later today. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Jennifer Collins.
Billie Jo Swanson's solar panels generate more than enough power for her house and her stable of horses. The extra energy goes back to San Diego Gas and Electric for free.
SDG is making out like big.
Swanson would rather she made out big. John Wellinghoff is the chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission.
I absolutely think she should be paid at the full retail rate.
A Senate committee is considering the idea today. Wellinghoff says enough people like Swanson and utilities wouldn't have to build more big conventional plants. States like Washington, California, and Maine might require utilities to pay for excess power. Major utilities are against that. For now, the federal government backs the same incentives it always has.
Congress's best vehicle is tax credits.
Or, Wellinghoff says, low-interest loans to encourage more people to buy alternative energy systems. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
I don't have to tell the Star Trek fans that their movie opens tomorrow. The build-up's been huge. Star Trek-themed sleepwear and cufflinks and trivia games. But as Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports, one company is boldly going where no merchandiser has gone before.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds.
And smells. The franchise loved by Trekkers and Trekkies around the world has something new for the fan with everything. Perfume. Three new scents. Ponfar for the ladies with notes of citrus. For the men, there's Tiberius, hints of cedar. And Red Shirt, kind of musky. John McGonigal runs Genki Wear, the company behind the $30 perfumes.
You know, I tell people that they should start out the day wearing Red Shirt. And if they make it through, you know, their job without being killed, that, you know, when they go out, they should put on Tiberius.
The names are inside jokes. Red Shirts are the anonymous crew members of the Enterprise who die in every episode. Tiberius, that's James T. Kirk's middle name. And Ponfar, well, that's a Vulcan mating ritual. Happens every 7 years. You don't mate, you die. And you don't get any of this, well, then you're really not the target audience anyway.
I had a gentleman yesterday that contacted us because he wants to wear Tiberius at his wedding, which is to be done entirely in Klingon.
Gavin Fitzsimmons is a professor of marketing and psychology at Duke University.
The beauty of the Star Trek brand is that for the target customers, boy, those associations are incredibly strong.
And when we buy perfume, he says what we're really buying is the idea of who we want to be.
What could be more aspirational than being James T. Kirk?
At a sci-fi convention in Los Angeles, I don't find any Kirk wannabes. I do find Eric Stillwell. He's a former script coordinator for Star Trek's Next Generation.
I've been a huge Star Trek fan since I was, like, 12.
His vote on the Star Trek scents?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. But the cologne might actually save you from those creatures that want to suck the salt out of you or something like that.
He likes the clever packaging, too. Ponfar's bottle has a Vulcan-shaped blade on top. Red Shirt's tagline, because tomorrow may never come. He says these products are a galaxy away from the days when calendars came out with the Starship Enterprise flying upside down. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
This will help your breakfast click or cluck. And help your pocketbook, too. Seems like there are quite a few folks going the route of backyard chicken coop. Owners say hens churn out delicious, fresh eggs for just a few bucks a week. But we're not talking rural Texas or the High Plains. How about downtown Philly, where having chickens is against the law? Our wingman, Joel Rose, reports.
At first glance, Zoe's backyard looks typical for a house in West Philadelphia. There's a big wooden deck and a yard extending another 10 feet back. And then there's the chicken coop.
Come here, girls. Come here. Come here, girls. What do I got?
The four birds converge from all corners of the yard, pecking vigorously at the sunflower seeds she dispenses.
The white one is kind of the ugliest, in my opinion, but she's the best layer. And I was reading somewhere that the uglier the chicken, the better the layer.
Zoe spends about $1.50 a week on chicken feed. In exchange, she gets 2 to 4 fresh eggs a day.
They're really good. They just taste eggier.
But there's a reason she doesn't want me to use her last name. Like many cities around the country, Philadelphia prohibits backyard chickens.
They defecate everywhere. So if somebody's not really diligent in cleaning, I mean, it can get all over the place.
Tara Chernecki is interim director of Philadelphia Animal Care and Control. She says chickens can pose a health hazard if they attract rodents. And she says the birds need a lot of space.
Chickens are like little roosting guys. They like to run around. They do not like to be cooped up in a small area. It's just not fair to them.
But backyard chicken enthusiasts disagree. They're petitioning the city to make chickens legal in Philadelphia, just like they are in hundreds of other cities around the country.
Chicken, chicken, chickens. Come on.
Thomas Kreese keeps 2 chickens in Redwood City, California, a suburb of San Francisco. He writes a blog called UrbanChickens.net, where he tracks successful chicken legalization efforts from Asheville, North Carolina, to Vancouver, British Columbia.
There seems to be more of a push towards, hey, this makes good economic sense for me to be able to have a little bit more food security. I can grow my own garden. I can raise my own chickens for eggs.
And Kreese says one man's chicken poop is another man's fertilizer. He admits that if the chickens are left unattended, they'll make a meal out of his vegetable garden. But he says the trade-off is worth it.
Now I'm going to open the latch to the coop itself. And when I look in, wow, I have 3 eggs.
I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Let's step outside the chicken coop and check Wall Street one more time. The Dow is flat, NASDAQ down about 0.3%. S&P 500 up about 0.5%. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.